I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay. If it's early in the game, but Trevino? Maybe Kelly or okay. Trevino, somebody like that finishes an inning for you, Buchter.
You don't have Dahl on that thing? You don't have Dahl on the playoff roster on the one game playing?
No. Okay. I don't have Pagan on there either.
You don't have Pagan and Dahl?
But I think it could absolutely be a Fires and then somebody and then a Jackson.
Okay.
I think that's plot. I think you have to look at it. You almost have to look at it backwards. You have to say, okay, because I think Bob Melvin looks at a 9-inning game and he says, I could have Trinan go the 9th and the 8th. I think you look at it and you could say, I could have Familia go the 7th and the 6th. I think he thinks both of those guys could go 2 innings, which means you take it a step farther back. I think you could have Rodney go the 5th. So I think there's a scenario where 5 innings of the game are covered by those 3 pitchers.
That's fair.
I think that's something in Bob. So it's, how do you get through the first 4 innings?
Right.
And that's where it turns into Fires and Kelly and maybe Jackson and Buchter, depending upon a matchup, and that's it.
I don't care about game one in Boston. I only care about Wednesday.
Correct.
I don't care if I have got to start Mengden in Boston. I don't care.
Nope.
I don't care if I got to start Cahill. I don't care if I got to start Brett Anderson. Game one means nothing to me. This is our World Series. I think the last caller is right. The World Series Game 7 is Wednesday.
100%.
Right? That's your Madison Bumgarner coming out of the bullpen if he needs to moment.
100%.
Because you don't get Game 1 without getting everything you can out of these guys. So,
yeah.
I think I found more of the answer. I'm more convinced Fires gets the ball to start the game now than I was when we started the show at 9 o'clock.
And every inning you can buy beyond the 4th inning, without having to use Rodney or Familia or Trinan, that's an inning later that you can get to if the game is tight and, let's say, goes to extra innings. Because here's a scenario the A's would love. The A's would love it to be the 6th inning and have it be next run wins. 6th inning,
okay,
tie game,
right,
and you've still got Familia and you've got Rodney and you've got Trinan.
All three. You've got all three guys in your holster.
If you've got all three and it's tied, or even if you're down one,
yep,
and it's basically next run wins, next run ties, that kind of thing, that's where the A's have been phenomenal this year.
From the 707, look what happened last night. Fires was out of his comfort zone. Routine was out of whack. As good as he can be, you don't know when you're going to get the ball if you don't start the game. When you start the game, you know when you're going to get the ball, in theory. You're up, on the road. You're up first, so you could have a big inning. You're not necessarily saying, I'm going to pitch at 1:15. You know the game starts at this time, 1:05 or 7:05, whatever the time. So last night, you didn't know when you were going to get the ball. You didn't know how to prepare. It's one game, but it might have been one game enough for Bob Melvin and the brains over on the A's to see, nah, let's not mess with that. Let's get Roy and Martinez, 888-957-9570. Roy, how do you see this for the Athletics and what they're about to get themselves into on Wednesday?
Hi, guys. Listen, I like the idea of Jackson or Fires starting the game. As far as the bullpen goes, though, I've been watching them very, very closely. I don't even want to see Familia in that game. Of late, he gets up and he puts a lot of guys on base, and then he needs somebody to come in and bail him out. I would much rather see Buchter and then go to Trinan and then go to and Trevino and Trinan at the end. But I don't want to see any bullpen guy go in there that has put a lot of guys on base on balls. I don't want to see that. And they've got the stats to back it up, so they know exactly who's strong and who isn't. And then the other thing is that the lineup has to be spot on to go up against whatever New York is going to throw at it.
All right, we appreciate it. Thanks very much. The offense has to supply some runs.
Definitely.
Right? The offense... We're sitting here talking about Fires and starting and what's happening.
And they will.
Let me ask you, because I know what I think. Do you think this thing on Wednesday finishes 3-2, or do you think this thing is more likely to finish 8-5?
I think it's more likely to finish 8-7.
Yeah, whatever it is.
6-5.
I'm thinking that, you know, there are some playoff games where a team takes a 2-1 lead and you think, this could be a while. This could be it. There are some things going into it, though, where you think, this is... got a chance to have some action in this one. You go up 4-0, I'm not convinced it's over.
Yeah, and I think it plays both ways. I think it
right.
plays both ways.
Yankees get four in the first.
I think it could be 6-3 Yankees in the seventh, and all of a sudden you look up and it's 7-6 A's in the eighth.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you, because we've seen it enough with the green and gold.
But the one thing I'll say, you got Familia to pitch in this game. Like, Familia's pitching in the damn game.
You know that.
Like,
no matter
like,
what.
Like, Trinan's pitching in the game and Familia's pitching in the game. That I can guarantee you.
No matter who starts, we know who else is going to share the rubber.
And fair Trevino enough. Probably earned himself into the game again last night.
Yeah, he might have. And we just heard earlier today, Martin Gallego say, I wouldn't be surprised if Trevino goes either today or tomorrow just to see if he's right. Because you're right. The minute they got... they got Familia first?
Yes.
The minute they got Familia, you started to feel pretty good about what you had. You had Trevino and Familia. The minute they got Rodney, you thought, oh my gosh.
You got four guys.
I got four guys late in games. But what do you think about Trevino?
Yeah, he's taken a step back the last couple of months. And honestly, I said this at the time, too. You get Familia because you have to be concerned that Trevino can't keep it up for the whole year. And the reality is he hadn't been able to. But can he be good Wednesday night? Yeah, he can. And I actually think whether he's good or not Wednesday night could decide the game. Here's the other thing, and this is something you have to keep in mind as you're watching this game. You got to dance with a guy, you know, you got to dance with who you brung. Mm-hmm. And look, and part of the risk of having all these relievers and using all of them, four, five, six guys in a game, if one of them has an off night and you get a little bit off schedule, that could be the game. You know, if you're thinking, hey, it's the sixth inning, I'm going to Familia for two, and Familia loads the bases and can't get an out and gives up a hit, and all of a sudden you're a three-run lead's down to one and you got to go to the next guy. Well, the next guy at that point, if you've used everybody else, is Trinan. So are you going to go to Trinan? Like, the game has to kind of stay on schedule. And that's how these games get lost, too, is when you get off schedule, when you start running through guys too quickly because one or two of them have an off night.
You know, that's interesting, because I'm going to blend a couple of texts together here at 95795. One is that the A's need to mix it up, not letting the Yankees see too much of each pitcher, pitch multiple people, not fire starting because he's too inconsistent. And then we had someone else from the 408 say, I anticipate Melvin will have a righty and a lefty warming up in the bullpen each inning. That kind of, in some ways, piggybacks on that.
They don't really have two lefties, though.
No, that's
unless you're thinking Brett Anderson's going to be one of them. Which,
oh boy.
Brett Anderson wouldn't sniff that game.
Most likely Cahill and Anderson. Is it possible one of those doesn't make the one-game play-in roster?
I personally wouldn't have either one of them on there.
And that gives you more opportunity for other guys?
Now, Anderson may, because he's a lefty and you just don't have another lefty, but I wouldn't have either one of them on the one-game roster. I would have Jackson. I would have Fires, obviously. I would have Mingdon. Mingdon's somebody I would keep on the roster as an emergency kind of a guy.
All right, how about this? According to the 925, E-Jack will take us at least four, not allow more than one or two. Then you go Kelly Rodney, Trevino, Familia, Trinan for two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a template the A's would love.
You could easily see that happening.
That's the easiest way. The easiest way for the A's would be if you look up in the fourth, fifth inning and it's 2-3 runs allowed.
Right.
I think you take that. If you get through the fifth inning, if you're the A's and you get through the fifth inning and the Yankees have three or less on the board, you got to feel great.
I almost want to say, I totally agree. You'd feel great, and you'd walk out, and you would shake the starter's hand and say, you did your job.
I think there's
you
actually...
You did your job.
Given the way the A's starting situation is, and knowing how great their bullpen has been, I actually think there's added pressure on the Yankees in this game to have to do damage and almost build a little bit of a lead for the time that the starter is in the game, to the point where if the A's can get it to the bullpen and they don't have a multi-run lead, 3-4-run lead, that even at that point it's a disappointment, because you look at the way the A's have banged other teams' pens and the way that the A's pen has locked down other teams. I think it's almost, and I remember thinking this when they were playing the Astros. You know, the Astros have all these hitters, right? And the A's are starting Brett Anderson, and they're starting, you know, whoever, Trevor Cahill. And I remember thinking, the Astros need to be up 5-1 in the third inning. And if they're not, then that's trouble. And I think one of those games, it was 5-5 at the end of the third inning, and that was the one that the Astros ended up winning late on the home run.
All right, I'm going to give you the worst possible take. We got 1 minute left in the segment.
Okay.
In baseball, do we think of it the same way we do in the NBA, where we think, now the league isn't going to let the Lakers not go far? The league is not going to let the Yankees lose to the Oakland Athletics when they could have the would it be Yankees and the Red Sox in the next round? The Yankees and the Red there are 162 games in a season, and the Yankees and the Red Sox play 119 times a year. And I see them on TV every night.
Playing right now.
And it's on TV. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing those teams. As much as I used to like both teams, if they never show up on my television again, I'm fine. Are you one of those conspiracy theorists? League's never going to let the Yankees and the Red Sox not play in the next round.
I mean, I will say this. I am a believer that the league is probably rooting for the Yankees.
No question.
Silently.
Yep. You know what they want? They want
but
Yankees,
how much can you
Dodgers.
Do?
They
how
want
much
Yankees,
can,
Dodgers.
How much can you do? I mean, aside from the game coming down to a...
In the NBA, we seem to find ways to
well,
do it.
Well, in the NBA, you can manipulate every play with a call. I mean, I don't know. Is it the strike zone issues? Really, the only way they can manipulate it is it would be like a play at the plate,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the 10th inning of a game, which ironically
replay.
Happened when these two teams played back in May.
And they had a... Do you remember that?
I do.
He barely touched a jersey. They didn't even have the right view.
He took a run off the board.
And took a run and changed the game.
So that's really the only way that it could happen.
That was brutal. You know what? If you lose the home field in the wild card, because the Yankees already have it. But in essence, if you think...
That could have flipped it.
That could have been the flip right there. The touch of a jersey that none of the television stations had... None of the networks covering it had. Major League Baseball camera saw that. I didn't see it till the next day. I was doing A's pre and post that day over on NBC. We need to step aside. 13 past 12. JD and Coase. We got some NFL to go over. We got the Raiders and the Browns playing with Baker Mayfield. Hello to your first NFL start. We've got Josh Eberle joining us. Going to talk some more NBA. A lot of great NBA stories going on, JD. JD's going to be out at the Warriors tonight. More NBA discussion. JD and Coase on 95.7 The Game.
Dwayne Wade, off the screen, Wade, two-hand pass right to Kevin Durant, threw it away, two-on-one with Draymond Green, KD goes all the way, and he flies in for a dunk, and LeBron James had to let him go, he went up high, and everybody get out of the way, 34-31, Cleveland, how about KD? Horford waits for Irving, pops up after a tight screen, gets it middle, drives on Andre Iguodala, no help there, and ball left-handed, it's up and good over Andre, and Boston retakes the lead.
I got news for you. We're going to be hearing Warrior highlights and Celtic highlights in June.
I think so.
I'm rooting for Toronto.
Why?
Oh, I love the city. I like the Raptors. It's like my guilty pleasure NBA team of the Toronto Raptors.
Okay.
Like, I like watching them on the NBA package. I like watching them NBA TV. I like their telecast. I'm buddies with their play-by-play guy.
Sure.
My wife's Canadian. Although I admit, never trust a Canadian, but I like the Toronto.
But I
Raptors.
Married one.
But I married one. I like the Raptors.
I'm Jim Cosimore.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. JD, John Dickinson, and Jim Cosimore. Warriors play tonight. They've got Minnesota at home this evening for the first preseason game. JD's going to be out there, so we'll get some NBA conversation rolling right now. In the East, is it a foregone conclusion the Warriors are in the finals? And this is barring. Like someone snapping Steph's ankle.
They're the favorite.
They're the clear favorite. They're the varsity playing up against the best JV teams in the West.
You make a case they're better in adding DeMarcus Cousins, who's going to play eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockets, at least as they stand right now, are worse. The Lakers are not good enough. Oklahoma City is good, but not championship good.
Nope.
And then beyond
playoff
that,
good, but not championship good.
Timberwolves aren't going to be as good because Jimmy Butler is going to be gone.
Yep.
And you start to go up and down. I mean, the Blazers are who we thought they were. I mean, they might be a playoff team, but they're not a legitimate threat. And the Pelicans aren't going to be as good.
All right. I'm not so sure about the Pelicans because I think they played well when Boogie was out, when they got Mirotić. And I think he spread the floor differently. And Anthony Davis might be the best player not named Durant or Curry in the NBA.
Maybe.
Might be.
But are they Western Conference Finals good?
No. I could say they're playoff good, but
yeah,
I can't say the Western Conference
team.
Finals good. So to me, it's a foregone conclusion the Warriors are one of the teams in the finals. In the East, is it a foregone conclusion Boston is the other team?
I don't think it is.
Because I think Toronto can be good if Kawhi decides to play.
See, you say Toronto and I say Philly. See, I think Philly would be the two.
That gives me hope for the East then, right? Because I'd rather have more teams to talk about. The NBA, I have no idea how it's so popular because we always know the four teams are eventually going to play for the finals. We always know going in. I don't know if that league has taken on the tank for purpose more than any other league. I don't know what it is, but shouldn't it be that if we know the four teams basically we're thinking about, we shouldn't pay attention until late, and yet everyone starts to pay attention on Christmas Day? We watch opening night, and then we watch Christmas Day, and then we start to pay attention really after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think what we pay attention to, though, is the hype. We pay attention to the names and the matchups. And that, like, I don't think we're really paying attention to who's good or not. We're just paying attention to Russell Westbrook is playing against Harden, and who is going to scowl at the other one, or who's going to do the, you know, what Harden does, the, you know, what does he do with the, you know, the hand signal, like, who's going to do the,
is he stirring it?
Who's going to stir it? Harden's going to stir it,
yeah.
And Westbrook's going to scowl at somebody, and then there's going to be like 500,000 tweets about it, and then
Carmelo going to fit with Chris Paul and James Harden?
No.
So you're far less concerned about the Rockets than you were a year ago.
Carmelo Anthony is,
he's a guaranteed waste of money.
He's a guaranteed makes you worse guy.
Yeah. Knicks for so many, his best years came when he was with the Denver Nuggets. Remember that?
Yeah.
They were running up and down. His best situation was running up and down the floor in Denver, scoring points. I think George Karl was the head coach at the time. And they were playing ball and having fun and building something.
Yeah, the Rockets are, look, how good they can be, to me, is directly proportionate to how managed Carmelo Anthony's minutes are. Like, if he's a guy that, because the big problem with Carmelo Anthony is Carmelo Anthony still thinks he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Carmelo Anthony still thinks he's on that Nuggets team getting up and down the floor.
No.
Getting buckets.
No. And he's the fourth option on that.
He's a bench player, is what he should be.
You know, they're talking about bringing him off the bench. And he didn't exactly get along with Mike D'Antoni the first time they were together in New York.
I think there's a move the Rockets could make that could put them in the Warriors back on that level.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be them getting Jimmy Butler. But they would have Jimmy Butler and they'd still have Carmelo Anthony. And I think,
If
you get Jimmy Butler, you need Carmelo Anthony even less.
He becomes, who's the kid who's from El Dorado, and he was getting paid $20 million a year? They just traded him to Phoenix.
Ryan Anderson.
Carmelo is Ryan Anderson, right? Last year at the end of the year, they didn't have Ryan Anderson in the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Ryan Anderson was he had a great seat.
Like, he can't play big minutes against the Warriors.
The end.
He can't.
All right, so Houston's out. I don't see anything. Let's stay on the West. Because the biggest move, they're titanic seismic shifts in the NBA.
You say Houston's out, and it's they may be out as far as beating the Warriors.
But they'll win 60 games.
But they're still the number two. They're still the two.
Right.
If the Warriors are the one.
Right. I've got enough evidence to think, if it's Houston and Golden State in the conference final, Houston won't win even if they've got a 3-1 lead, because Harden's going to crap all over himself.
Wow.
And I'm sorry to say that, because I think he's a phenomenal talent. But when they were up 3-2, go back a couple of years. Remember when he had that possession late in the game, and Curry and Thompson just swallowed him up?
Yeah, 2015.
He didn't know what to do. Last year, they're up 3-2. How many threes did the guy miss?
How many threes did they all miss?
They all missed. Didn't they miss 17 in the second half or something like that?
27 in a row.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Come on, JD. I've seen enough of the Houston Rockets, and I'm a fan of the Houston Rockets. I've seen enough to see what I know what I'm going to get. Nothing in the West can do it. LeBron going to the Lakers. So LeBron goes to the Lakers as part of the seismic shift in the NBA. And I think everyone instantly said, all right, well, they're a playoff team. Why are they a playoff team?
I think they're a playoff team.
They added Lance Stephenson. Does that get you excited?
No.
How about JaVale?
No, not on its own.
How about Michael Beasley?
Nah.
Exactly. Lonzo Ball.
Okay.
Kyle Kuzma.
I like Kuzma.
I like Kuzma.
Ball.
I don't mind Ball.
I don't know. We got to see it.
Yeah.
He's got to get better.
I know when guys are changing their shot in the pros, that's not a good sign. I don't care if you shoot from the left side of your head. I don't care how you release the ball. If you can shoot the ball, shoot the ball. Don't change your shot as you're growing up.
I think LeBron makes everybody significantly
no
better.
No question about it.
What
did they win last year? 29?
Rondo will help them. No, they won in the mid-30s.
They got that far?
Yeah. They won in the mid-30s.
Because they were out last year. They were out of any contention, I'd say, for all season.
Sure.
I would say you looked at what they had and at the start of the year, and everyone wanted to see what Lonzo Ball could do.
35.
Last year, yeah, they were a 35-win team last year. They were still 12 games out of the 8th seed. Are they 12 games better just because of LeBron?
Yeah, I think they probably are.
Okay.
And 12 games is 47-35.
Not embarrassing.
Which would be exactly what the 8th seed won.
And the 7th seed San Antonio was at 47 last year. Although I think San Antonio will be better this year because they'll have a player who's playing in DeMar DeRozan. They didn't have Kawhi playing last year.
Fair point. I think San Antonio is a bottom of the West playoff team.
I think they're a middle West, just because DeMar DeRozan I like as a player, and I think, he's going to be on the floor. And I think everyone else is going to be a little bit more defined, and I think LaMarcus Aldridge gets what he wanted all along, which was to be the man. I think that was part of the issue, going back a couple of seasons. So I think the West, if you take the Warriors out of the West, I think the West is really competitive.
The Warriors are in the West. The West is pretty competitive. Like you say. I mean, gosh, Warriors, Rockets, Thunder, Utah, the Pelicans.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about San Antonio. I mean, Minnesota's probably one of the teams that falls out.
Yep. I'm not certain yet because I don't know what they're going to get back. I think they're a decent team. I like some of their young guys. I know they were the 8th seed last year. Let's move the conversation, though, with Josh Eberle. Josh writes for Hoop Magazine. You get him on Twitter, at Josh Eberle, E-B-E-R-L-E-Y. Josh joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Josh, Jim Cozumore, and John Dickinson. How you doing today, Josh?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
That's what we'd like to hear. All right, we're going over the West and all the seismic shifts. Even though we're the home of the Golden State Warriors, we kind of get what they're going to do. The debate is about LeBron going to the Lakers this year. How much better are the Lakers adding Lance Stephenson, adding JaVale McGee, Michael Beasley? How much better are they than the 35-win team they were last year?
Well, there's a couple questions you got to ask yourself there. One, I mean, are we getting lethargic, two-thirds effort regular season LeBron James, or are we getting playoff LeBron James? I don't know if the Lakers collectively have kind of punted on this year, thinking we're going to see what we got with our young guys, work LeBron in, and then go after the star again next season, or if they're going to punch it and see what they can do if they just get into the playoffs. So I think the temperament there matters. And then just this new system. Like, LeBron has never wanted to play the 4-5. Now he's going to do that in spurts. These young guys who aren't shooters are not the guys that you've normally seen around LeBron James. How do they fit in? I think this is a good team on paper. I think LeBron, 15-ish wins if he's focused and motivated with those guys sounds about right. But the West is tough. And LeBron teams, no matter where he's been, Miami the last few years, or Miami and then Cleveland the last few years, his teams have this tendency to take their foot off the gas, at least for a stretch. And if you do that in the West, if you punt on 15 games or there's a big learning curve, that could really cost you in the Western Conference. And I think they got a, it's going to be interesting to see, but they're going to have some kinks to work out.
As you look at the storyline that we're all going to be following here as far as the Warriors go, it's going to be Kevin Durant. Will he or won't he? What's your take on where Durant is as a guy that turns 30 years old today? He's got the ability to go wherever he wants at the end of this season. Do you think he knows where he wants to be for the 2019-2020 season?
I don't think he does. And in fairness, like, there's a lot of people who are like, why would he leave? And there's a lot of people, well, once he's won three with the Warriors, why wouldn't he want to go make his own team and his own and change his legacy? But I don't know. If he wants to stick it to the critics, wouldn't staying be the best way to do that? Because everyone wants him to leave. And the other thing is, if the Warriors do win three in a row, which I think most of the world expects them to do, and he wins a third Finals MVP, wouldn't, you know, being the first guy to go do four and four Finals MVPs in a row be tempting too? So I don't think he's totally decided. I would still love to know what was some of these comments about the Warriors locker room that came out and the things that they went through during this playoff run. You know, what kind of turmoil really went down and if there was something significant there. But at the moment, I think he's content to kind of play the season out and compete for that three-peat and then go from there.
Josh Eberle, Hoop Magazine, joining us, 95.7 The Game. Let's stay just going around the NBA, Josh. I want to go to the Eastern Conference. The way we speak of the West is it's Golden State and everyone else. In the East, is it the Boston Celtics and everyone else, or do you think that there could be more in the mix in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I feel like 1A and 1B are Toronto and Boston. I really think with Kawhi Leonard right and the type of defense that they're going to be able to muster with him and OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, Danny Green, Kyle Lowry. I think that's going to be a really, really good defensive team. Might have the best player in the conference if Kawhi's himself. So I think Boston and Toronto are that 1A, 1B. And then, honestly, I really like Milwaukee this year. Philadelphia figures to be in the mix. I think Golden State is clearly in their own tier, but they're the only team in their own tier.
Yeah, it's what about Philadelphia? Because we were having the conversation earlier, and Koza brought up Toronto, and we were talking about the Celtics, who I think everybody agrees is the favorite. But where is Philadelphia in their evolution?
Yeah, I think everyone kind of has them third or fourth in there. Probably more people have them third. There are some worries, though. You look at Toronto and you look at Boston, and you say they've got guys that can create their own shot. They've got floor spacing. They've got good defensive units. And you look at Philadelphia, and there's this team where they have just as much talent, but you can attack certain things. Like Ben Simmons' lack of a shot is going to be an issue. In today's game, the point of attack, a player who, once they don't have the ball, isn't the same threat because they can't space the floor, I think it's going to be an issue. And Joel Embiid wanting to have 10 post-ups tonight in a fast-paced game with, I think, a guard in Simmons who wants to play fast. Yeah, I think there are things with Philadelphia that you can attack that you can't necessarily attack with Boston and Toronto.
Josh Eberle writes for Hoop Magazine, also the co-host of Hot Takes and Shot Fakes podcast. He's joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I don't know if we're burying the lead or not. Minnesota's in town to play the Warriors, the Jimmy Butler saga. How close are the Timberwolves to pulling the trigger, and which teams are most involved in a conversation to try and get a guy who's going to be a free agent in a year?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this seems to be evolving from, you know, I wanted to go to Brooklyn, New York, or Los Angeles to, oh, Miami sounds good, to, oh, maybe Houston's in play. And to me, I think Minnesota still, they're battling internally with Layden and Taylor and Tibbs, and they're trying to figure out what the best deal is for them. And I kind of feel like maybe this is the Paul George Indiana scenario. This is the Kawhi Toronto scenario where someone's going to hop in here and just top the pile of what's been offered and take a run at an all-star type player because he is very good. And I honestly think there is still an opportunity for Minnesota to come out well here. And some of the offers, if he goes to Houston for Eric Gordon, I don't think any Minnesota fan feels great about that trade, but there's a situation where maybe they get two young guys who weren't in the right scenario, but come in and fill some needs. And maybe you get that star. Maybe you get Victor Oladipo. That there are options for the Timberwolves that I don't think have been thoroughly explored right now. And unfortunately, with the time of the trade request, it's on them to make a move quickly. but I still kind of think there's someone lurking we haven't heard about that could swing in here.
You know, in the past, that team was Oklahoma City. They went out and rolled the dice on Paul George, and it worked. Is it possible? Because I think they're proactive over there in Oklahoma City, and I know it's off the board, but when they lost Kevin Durant, I think they wanted to remain significant. Would they be willing to sniff around a little bit? And how much is this of this move is going to be the determining factor on how long Tom Thibodeau stays as the head coach of the Timberwolves?
Yeah, you know, I honestly can't say. I'm sure OKC has called, done their due diligence, but I just don't know what they could offer that would really entice Minnesota. Like, the one piece that they could maybe move that has some value is Steven Adams, but I think he's someone that they see as a pillar, and I'm not sure they'd want to make that deal. With Tibbs, here's the thing. This is a guy who's kind of out of touch. His defensive scheme isn't what it was. Teams have adapted. He has an issue talking to players, communicating with guys. There's a mixed bag relationship between him and Wiggins and Towns. You know, Jimmy Butler was his guy. This is the reason you brought him in, to have this relationship with the star, and this was going to turn around Minnesota. And seeing that relationship fail would make me very cynical of Tibbs long-term as both a coach and as the president. And I don't – maybe he gets through the year, but I don't see him being in Minnesota longer than that.
I want to go back to Jimmy Butler as it pertains to the Rockets, because I think that's the one guy that could get the Rockets back on level with the Warriors. But it's a matter of how creative they have to get to try and make it happen, and what do they have to give up to try and make it happen. How do you see a potential Jimmy Butler to the Rockets deal having to work in terms of how they would have to play and who would be left on that roster?
Yeah, well, you know, I think crazier things have happened, but if I was Minnesota, I would want Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and a pick. And I wouldn't come off that. Like, I like Gordon. He's got a year left on that deal. He is an instant offense type player. He's probably an underrated defender. Obviously, he has range, but he's not someone that you're building your franchise around, and he has his limitations. He's not someone I'm giving up for getting in return for an All-NBA guy. I like Tucker a lot, can play a lot of positions, does a lot of things well. Maybe with those two guys coming in, you say, hey, it's not the return we wanted, but those two, along with the developed Wiggins, developed Towns, a little bit of growth internally, maybe we're still in that playoff mix. We don't go on another 13-year slip. So maybe you talk yourself into it in that way. From the Rockets' perspective, it's obviously a win talent-wise. Chris Paul, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, like you said, that trio could really compete with Golden State. But how does that work with Golden State? All of those guys, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, they thrive off ball. They have no problem moving around through the offense, forcing defenses to adapt. That's not really Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, or James Harden. All those guys play on ball, and it worked for them with the you go, I go isolation with Paul and Harden, but then how does Butler fit into that, and do they still have enough spacing around those three? So it would be interesting, because I think Houston wins talent-wise, but that would be I think there'd be some learning curve there with that trio as well.
Josh Eberle with us here, 95.7 The Game. He's a co-host of Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. He writes for Hoop Magazine. National guy, I'm going to throw out a question that we're, you know, elbow deep in here in the Bay Area. How closely will you watch the Kevin Durant with the Warriors vibe and scenario this year as it plays out during the year, as far as will KD pick up and go?
Yeah, I think we'll all be watching really closely. I think 90% of NBA fans outside of the Bay Area that don't identify with the Golden State Warriors are really hoping he has some vested interest in the New York Knicks or the Washington Wizards or whoever it will be. But I think honestly, as mentioned earlier, he's really probably okay to let this season play out how it plays and address that. Like when players talk about, oh, I'm focused on the next game and I'll think about that when I get there. Normally, I don't think that's true, but in the situation that they're in, it's so positive and they're on top. I think that might actually be the case where he can run through the season, play it out, and potentially try to win another MVP award, try to win that Finals MVP award, three-peat with the Warriors, and then evaluate his options. But I am sure that any time he talks to anyone or there's a picture of him and someone from not his team, any sort of social event, that it will be a newsworthy topic.
And Josh, it's interesting to me when you look at the Durant deal, because a lot of Warriors fans out here believe, well, if Durant goes, the Warriors will just they'll figure out somebody else. Is there? And now that's obviously easier said than done because the Warriors are now paying and will continue to be paying the players that they have at significantly higher salaries. But is there an under the radar next guy that you wonder if he's on the Warriors' list of a guy to try to eventually bring in?
Yeah, I don't have their cap. I don't have their books in front of me, so I can't really speak to what kind of room they'd be looking at if Durant up and walked. But I do think there is, you know, what the notion that Kevin Durant came to this team and they would have been this dynasty without him is probably not accurate. They would still probably be the best team or one of the best teams in the NBA, but, you know, there's some worry about Draymond Green, how he's going to grow. And Curry, you know, he's had some injuries. And they as you said, they're going to start to pay these guys more. I do wonder that if he leaves, if they can't replace him in any capacity, do Curry and Green and Thompson still have the durability to carry the team for 82 and then into a deep postseason run? So you'd think that they would have some sort of a backup plan in place, but their options might be limited, especially with the Green extension coming up.
Josh, thanks for the time. We appreciate the trip around the NBA. We'll do it again real soon. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
All righty. Enjoy the start of the NBA preseason. I was watching a little Charlotte Hornets. Shows you how closely I was watching it. They played at North Carolina, at UNC North Carolina. Hornets were playing Boston last night.
Oh.
I was watching a little of that.
Okay.
Because I love my NBA preseason, JD.
Tony Parker and a...
I didn't see too much Tony Parker out there.
And Charlotte Uni.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of that. I don't think they're going to have Parker burning his minutes on...
No.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
You know, they're going to wait till they matter.
And Boston lost that game, right?
Well, look out.
So they're in trouble.
I didn't stay to the finish.
Okay. All right.
I actually flipped over to a little Red Wings Maple Leafs preseason action.
Oh, my gosh.
what do you mean?
No, it's fine.
I love the NHL.
You're a sick individual.
That is my sport. I love
the
NHL.
We both are in our own way. I'm not judging. We both are.
That's true. It's an observation, not a judgment.
I mean, I was at the Giants-Dodgers game, and that might as well be a preseason
That's an
game.
Excellent point. Your driving miles yesterday were amazing. Were just amazing. The guy spends the whole day at 49ers practice, and then he's making the 50-mile leap up to AT&T Park. I still want to call it Pac Bell.
That's okay.
I want to call it Pac Bell Park. Going up to Pac Bell, and then you're catching 9 innings of the Gigantics.
Yeah, and it was all mainly an attempt to just avoid traffic.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the Bay Area. Phone calls are coming. I'm just going to ask you to listen to this call. I want to know if you think this guy is serious or troll worthy. David in San Jose. We welcome you to 95.7 The Game. David, your dime, your dance floor.
Hey, how's it going? Before I become troll worthy, first of all, maybe you can just answer this later on. Nobody's given the Pacers any credit. Maybe you could touch on that a little bit later. But I'm going to sell to you why I think the Lakers would be a number two and possibly a number one seed. And that is between January 7th and March 13th, the Lakers were 20-9. And I remember the media was big kind of on the Lakers second half of going into the new year. And those wins, you know, they had San Antonio, they had Boston, they had OKC, they had Cleveland in that win. So my question to you and kind of my selling point is, you had that squad, you had that small window. I'm taking about a 2-month window, 30 games, 29 games, and I'm saying the Lakers went 20-9. Now you add in the Rondo, you add in LeBron, you add in these new pieces, and also you take away some of the weaker pieces, I guess, addition by subtraction. I think you have a really good Laker team if they're healthy and they keep the run going.
Coase, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yes.
But I actually don't think that's troll-worthy. And I actually think that the Lakers are a guaranteed playoff team.
A lock.
They're healthy. They're a lock. I think the notion, because a lot of the conversation around the Lakers is, they might be the 7 or the 8 seed. I actually think they're a middle of the pack. I don't know about one, but I actually think they could be a 3 or a 4 seed in the West. So I'm
really,
yeah, I do.
You think they're that good?
I think they could be.
David, you, David, and JD, you guys are in the same bus, right?
Yeah,
I don't see it.
I don't look. I don't. One would be strong. Like, I don't think they're going to win 60, 65 games, but could they win 50 games? Sure. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
A 15-game jump.
They absolutely could win 50 games.
How many games do you think LeBron's going to play? And I will tell you this.
Well, that's a huge factor.
Right. I respect LeBron that last year he played 82 games. Right?
Sure.
Warriors didn't do that.
Although he takes nights off while he's playing sometimes.
Maybe. I think I saw one of those in Sacramento last year. I think.
He was
in uniform and he did participate in the game.
He was playing the game, but he wasn't playing the game.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you look up his line from that night, he probably had 33 minutes.
I think he triple-doubled. Like my triple-double or was close to a triple-double.
He had 33 minutes, triple-double, or close to
it. But it was one of those unassuming.
But he wasn't really playing.
Right. It was that. So I give him credit. But I give him credit for being there. He understands the importance of being number 23 no matter what building he goes to. He's not going to take a night off. And there was a time when he did take a night off or two. And that's a problem that I have with teams in the NBA. I think the Warriors have tried their best to keep a superstar on the floor no matter what city they go to. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about. It's an entertainment. It's like going to see Debbie Gibson sing her hits and not seeing Debbie Gibson. Right?
Yeah, something like that.
That was an odd pull, wasn't it?
It was a really odd pull.
That was very, very... I don't know why I pulled that one.
I don't know either.
It was like going to see Lady Gaga and not getting Lady Gaga.
Did you go see Debbie Gibson one time and she wasn't there?
In a mall? Wasn't she the mall singer? Is Debbie Gibson the one who used to show up in malls and do concerts in malls?
I have no idea. Yeah.
888-957-957. Or hit us on the text line. 95795. Britney Spears is a better one. It's like going to Vegas to see Britney Spears one night and you get a Britney Spears impersonator. Right?
Yeah.
Someone singing her songs. It's like going to see Durant. You don't get Durant, but you get Jordan Bell for 48 minutes. He's wearing the same uniform. It's just...
Sure.
It's Jordan Bell.
Different ballgame.
He had our last caller, David, who I was questioning whether or not he was trolling or not. And you seem to think he's not.
Not.
He asked about the Indiana Pacers. I like the Indiana Pacers. I like the Indiana Pacers. I like Tyreek Evans going to that team. I like Victor Oladipo. I like Sabonis. I think he's a decent player. I think they got some talent.
They're a decent team. Can they win the East?
Nah. But I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
I think they're a Western Conference playoff or Eastern Conference playoff team
for sure.
Yeah, there's not in the West. Not so much in the West.
West, yeah.
They're going to have a harder time.
Maybe.
If you put them in the West?
Yeah.
Let's get. Do we have. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name in San Jose. How do you pronounce his name? Moak? Is it Moak? Mook and Mooch? Mooch in San Jose? Give me Mooch. How do you say your name, Mooch?
Mooch, yeah, just Mooch.
Mooch, M-O-O-C-H. I got it. Mooch. All right, Mooch.
Right on.
Thanks very much, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all. I was thinking about maybe Jimmy Butler to Milwaukee. You take, maybe you give Brogdon, Snell, or they might want Middleton in a first or second round, whichever one they choose. What do y'all think about that pick, maybe?
Well, I would love to see him go to Milwaukee just because I like cities that aren't factors to become factors. So no one thinks of Milwaukee as much as they have the Greek Freak. No one's waiting to see Milwaukee in the finals.
No, they're waiting for the Greek Freak to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're waiting for. But I want Milwaukee to be significant now. I would love for that to happen. So thank you, Mooch, for that.
Jimmy Butler, a Marquette guy.
Man, I'm looking at their roster right now to see what you could possibly give. You know what? You give the backup to Eric Bledsoe as their point guard, right?
Yeah.
You're not sold on
him. I'm not an Eric Bledsoe guy.
And so I was going to say, he said, give him Snell. Give him some picks. See, here's the problem. Tom Thibodeau wants to win now. He wants to win now. He can't get another young guy. The owner, Glenn Taylor, up in Minnesota, has had enough years of, I was bad, I got Andrew Wiggins off the trade.
Then why is he so hell-bent
bad,
on doing Jimmy Butler a service and getting him out of town?
I think he sees the fact that it's a load of crap. Butler doesn't want to be there, so the owner's like, you know what, I'm too old for this. You don't want to be here? Go.
Right.
You're done.
But I also think the owner has to be willing to say, Jimmy Butler's the only reason we're a playoff team, and if Jimmy Butler isn't around, then you might have to take that step back. Like, you can't have it both ways if you're the owner.
They made the playoffs for the first time in 12 years last year, and you're telling me they... Because that's
14.
14? So think of that. 14 years, you make the playoffs, you get a taste of the playoffs, you've got to move up from the 8 seed, don't you? This is supposed to be my ascension.
You're not going to move up from the 8 seed trading Jimmy Butler.
Man, they're in trouble.
It's trouble.
Thank you very much on the text line. The 925 and the 650. Debbie Gibson and Tiffany performed in malls.
Cool.
Okay. Exciting, exciting shows, I'm sure. I'm still not sold on the Lakers with LeBron. I'm just not sold on the Lakers and LeBron.
Barring injury, I think they're a 50-win team.
Who's their target next offseason? Who's their number one target?
Kawhi.
Doesn't Kawhi not want to go there because LeBron's there?
Yeah,
Kawhi wants to be the guy.
Apparently nobody wants to play with LeBron.
Isn't that an enormous story that nobody talks about except me here on this station?
There might be one guy that wants to play with LeBron, though.
And that's the same guy said wants to go play with LeBron.
And that's the same guy that is going to be suiting up for
the next time. The
Golden State Warriors, baby.
The first time you see Kevin Durant play at Chase Center, he's going to be wearing a Laker uniform.
Wow.
How would you like that?
Can you imagine that?
I don't want to imagine that, but I can imagine that. And if, in fact, Durant decides, no, I want to stay here in Golden State, I got to believe Klay Thompson's their next target. I got to believe making your closest opponent weaker helps you out.
I think Klay Thompson's a Warrior next year.
Okay. Regardless.
I think Klay Thompson's a Warrior next year. Durant, we'll see how it all plays out. I think it would take something semi-catastrophic as far as the way the Warrior season plays out for Klay Thompson to be like, you know what? This isn't what it used to be. I'm out.
All right. We're down to a minute and a half here, JD. We got a lot coming up. Tonight, starting at 5, we've got the A's on, 95.7 The Game. That starts today at 5.
Yeah.
We've got the Warriors tonight to open preseason action out at the Roracle. You're going to be there. That game can be heard on Q102, 102.1 FM, so you get a chance to hear the Dubs. You've got Bonte and Butcher Boy tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., with an all 49ers show. 49ers and Chargers get rolling tomorrow, so you get those guys leading up to A's baseball because the A's play at noon tomorrow. So a lot going on here at 95.7 The Game. I'm excited about it. Coming up straight ahead is Matt Kolsky and Michael Urban. Kolsky, you hear Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 in the morning. He's going to beat the drum for Daniel Mengden to start the game on Wednesday. Make the case.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Stake your claim.
How do you feel in there, JD? Your four-hour excursion, you feel like you survived it?
I'm great. I'm ready to do it again.
Are you ready?
I think we're doing it again next week.
Is it you and I?
I think so.
I have not even looked at this schedule.
Yeah.
You and me? Are we a regular Saturday morning crew?
I think it's next week. I go week to week or day to day. So get out of it now. So I'm just telling you right now, Coach, if you hadn't looked at the schedule and you wanted to get out of it, I'm giving you free rein.
We're going to have a great time. For John Dickinson, I'm Jim Cosmore. Thanks to everybody who helped us out today. Nash and James, you've got Kolsky and Urban coming straight ahead right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.